Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
How are you doing today? You guys doing all right? Yeah? All right. Hey, a couple things before I start. One is that tonight we're having this meeting. We're calling it the Dirt on Dig It meeting. If you've been here, you've heard about it. Here's the deal. Like, if you're just checking Verve out, you're not sure if you're interested in this, you don't have to come to that for sure. But if Verve is your church, like if you know that at some point in the future, you definitely will be here again, you need to be here tonight. I need you here tonight. You're going to want to be here tonight. I honestly think this is the biggest moment in Verve's history, like from the start until now. And so you're going to hear, you might be like, I already heard the announcement. There's a ton you haven't heard. I need you here tonight. 6:30, it's starting. It will end by 8, probably a little earlier than that. We've got childcare. We've got dessert. We're having dirt pudding. Do you know what that is? You take like brownies, Oreos, pudding, and whipped cream, and they all come together. And that, I'm just saying, that's not a bad thing. Like putting those four things together, it turns out kind of good. So tonight, Dirt on Dig It, 6:30, be here tonight. Second is next week, we're starting a brand new series called I've Been Burned. We're going to talk about being burned by the church, burned by Christians, and feeling like you've been burned by God. And this will be a good series for you, but it is the perfect series for your friends who don't go to church, maybe think church is a joke, Christians are hypocrites, God isn't real, or he just lets you down. Like, this series will be like the perfect series that will speak to them. So come back next week with your friends. We always give you invite cards in your seat that you can hand to people, put something in their hand, so be there for that. But today, we are finishing our series called Back to the Future. And I don't know if you were here last week, but Ryan spoke, and then he did an awesome job. Like, it was so good. If you weren't here, I would totally encourage you, go to the Verve app or the Verve website and listen to his message, because it was so good. But it was weird. He started his message by asking this question. He said, did you see the movie Gremlins? And I just thought, what's wrong with this guy? Like, the series is called Back to the Future. We're showing clips from the movie Back to the Future, and he's starting by talking about some other movie. Come on, Ryan. So, did you see the movie The Bucket List? I'm doing the same thing. Did you see the movie The Bucket List like years ago? It's a movie about this guy, Carter Chambers, played by Morgan Freeman, who has led a decent but pretty boring life. And now he's in the hospital. He's battling cancer. He's probably on his deathbed. The person he's sharing the hospital room with is a guy named Edward Cole. He's a billionaire, played by Jack Nicholson, and he has all the money in the world. He can do anything he wants, but he's a miserable guy, and no one likes him. But somehow, Cole, the billionaire, takes a liking to Carter Chambers. And one day, Carter's writing something, and Cole asks him, well, what are you writing? And he won't tell him, but it turns out he finds out that he's writing a bucket list. Years earlier, someone had told him he should write a list of all the things he wanted to do and accomplish before he kicked the bucket. He had never written a list. Now he is, ironically, on his deathbed when there's really no chance he's going to be able to do any of these things. Except that he's in a room with a billionaire who has taken a liking to him. And so the billionaire, Jack Nicholson character, offers to help this guy accomplish all of his dreams before he dies in his last days. And they go off on this whirlwind adventure, drive a Shelby Mustang, check, get a tattoo, check, go skydiving, check, see Rome and the pyramids in Egypt, check, check. Chambers does all these things, and Cole kind of vicariously lives through Chambers, and it's nice because he's finally doing something for someone other than himself, and the movie is kind of fun watching these two old guys live it up, but at the same time, it's kind of sad that they waited so long to live. And what's really sad is how close to life this truly is. You've got Chambers, who's led a boring life. You've got Cole, who devoted his life to making money and now realizes he was pursuing the wrong thing, and so he never really lived at all. And I think many of us are bored with our lives. Or maybe in an honest moment, we might admit and realize that we're pursuing the wrong things in life. Most of us just end up getting kind of stuck in this same old, same old. You know what I'm talking about? There's this malaise, this monotony of doing the same thing day after day and never really living. We get stuck in a rut of the same old, same old, right? Like you get up, you go to work, you come home, you eat dinner, you watch TV for 3 hours, you go to sleep. You get up the next morning, you go to work, you come home, you eat dinner, you watch TV for 3 hours, you go to sleep. You get up, you go to work, you come home, you eat dinner, you watch TV for 3 hours, you go to sleep. You get up, you come home, you go to work, you get over, and until finally someone just snaps, right? Like dad comes home, he's frustrated with his life, and so he yells at mom. Mom yells at older brother yells at younger sister. Younger sister kicks the dog, dog bites the cat, cat scratches the baby, baby bites the head off the Barbie doll. And I'm just thinking it would be a lot easier if dad came home, bit the head off the Barbie doll, and saved all those in-between steps, is what I'm saying. And at some point, you have to wonder, as you're stuck in the same old rut, am I really living? Like, is the life I'm living the life I want to live? Like, when I get to the end and I just strung together this routine until finally it exhausted and my life was done, am I going to look back and realize I never accomplished what I should have, what I wanted to? I think we're a lot like this guy Morgan Freeman plays in the movie. The only difference is I'm just going to make a bet that none of us is going to end up dying in a hospital room with a billionaire who is willing to fund all of our dreams happening in the last couple days. What happens for too many of us is we get so stuck in today that we never think about tomorrow. You know, we get so focused on today that we lose sight of life. And eventually we realize we didn't really live life. There's a guy named Garry Kasparov. He was like the world champion of chess for like a couple decades, so I know you all are big fans of his. We're all chess fans, right? So he wrote a book called How Life Imitates Chess. And he writes this. He says, a grand master makes the best moves because they are based on what he wants the board to look like 10 to 20 moves in the future. And I think about that. And I think I want to be a grand master. Like I want to make my decisions today based on what I want my life to look like 10, 20 years from now, and even more, what I want my life to have been when I'm on my deathbed someday, right? So today I want to do something a little bit different than typical. I want to help you to start a bucket list. I want to actually get you started making a plan for your life. My guess is probably a lot of us have never done this. Here's the irony. Probably a lot of us have spent way more time planning our grocery lists than planning our lives. Think about that one for a minute. What happens is instead of living our lives by design, we live our lives by default. We just keep doing the same thing over and over until finally our life's done. And so let's create kind of a plan for our life. Let's design our lives and then start living our lives that way. And so we're going to talk about how to set some goals for our lives. And I wonder if maybe the reason so many of us haven't accomplished more great things is because we simply haven't planned on accomplishing great things. There's a really powerful verse in the Old Testament of the Bible in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. We'll put it on the screen and we'll put all the Bible verses on the screen. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. That word perish, it's a word that referred to fruit that's past its prime. It's no longer ripening. Instead, it's starting to rot. And the idea is that when we have no plan for our life, when we have no vision for our lives, no dreams for our future, we stop ripening and start rotting. But vision for our life is kind of like a preservative for us. It's like you start dying when you have nothing worthy to live for, and you don't really start living until you have something worth dying for. So I want to give you some steps today to help you start creating a bucket list and thinking through, like, what do you want to accomplish with the rest of your life? It's going to feel a little bit more like a workshop or a seminar instead of your usual inspiring sermon or whatever it is that we do here. And so it's going to be a little bit different. In fact, we gave you a handout, and you don't have to, but you might want to write some notes. I'm actually going to give you a couple minutes in the middle to work on this a little bit. We'll get there in a bit. And so we're going to walk through some steps for creating, kind of putting together a bucket list, all right? And here's the first one. The first one is to start with prayer. To ask God for help and tell him that, man, I want the plan I make to be pleasing to you. Now, let me just say, I realize that probably some of you are here and you're like, I don't even know if I believe in God yet. Like, somebody invited me. I'm checking this out. Man, I am so glad that you're here investigating faith. And you have found a really safe place to investigate. So thank you for being here. And you may not be at a place where you're going to start with prayer. But for the rest of us, for those who do believe, like, we want our lives to make God smile. And so what we're talking about is not a self-help exercise. It's not that we're trying to figure out just a plan for our lives to please ourselves, but we want to make sure that the plan we create for our life also pleases God. I love the verse in the Bible, 2 Corinthians 5:9. It says, we make it our goal to please him. See, once you realize that, like, you owe God everything, well, then you realize, man, I want to live my life in a way that pleases him. But when you realize that God is the one who loves you the most, you want to make him smile. When you realize that God is the one who matters most, you want to live your life for him. And so as we go through this, we want to do it, like, prayerfully and make sure that this is something that God would be pleased with. The second step in putting together a bucket list that I would encourage you to do is check your motives. Like, if your goals are purely selfish, then you would probably be a better person if you don't accomplish your goals. Right? Being selfish is not a good thing. And so if your goals are purely selfish, you will be a better person if you don't accomplish any of your goals. But if you're someone who knows Jesus and you've decided to follow him in your life, then your life is no longer just about you. It's also, and even more, about loving God and loving other people. Here's how Jesus said this in Matthew 16. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple, my follower, must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. He's like, we don't just live for our own selfish desires anymore. Now, this does not mean that all of your goals have to sound really holy. Okay, so right now you might be like, oh, so all these goals have to be like holy goals or something. No, it doesn't have to be like, goal number one, I shall giveth my lifeth to the serviceth of the Lord. You know, I'm not saying that all your goals have to be holy, but I am saying that you should think through, like, what is my motive for this goal? So I have a friend, he's a pastor named Mark Batterson. And Mark Batterson is really into this whole idea of goal setting. In fact, I got some of my ideas I'm sharing with you from him originally. And so he, at one point in his life, set 100 goals for his life. And if you read them, you'd notice that they don't all sound holy. Most of them don't sound holy. But that doesn't necessarily mean that his motives are selfish. So, for instance, one of his goals is that he wants to own a vacation home. That doesn't sound holy at all. That actually sounds kind of selfish. But check this out. Mark's motive is that throughout his life, he has had a bunch of people who gave his family free vacations by staying in their vacation homes. And he's just always thought, man, I would love to kind of pay that forward. It'd be so cool to be able to do that for others. And so we might only stay in the vacation home for a couple weeks a year, but the other 40-something weeks of the year, I'd love to be able to give it away for free. Oh, okay, that's a really cool motive, right? Another one of his goals is visiting Hawaii and Mount Everest. And you might think, well, what's holy about that? Well, he would tell you that part of it is that the way he's wired, when he's out seeing God's creation, it really connects him to God and to worshiping the creator of all that. And he's like, man, I just know that would draw me closer to God. Okay, that's not selfish. That's really cool, right? And so I'm not saying all of your goals have to be very holy and religious sounding, but I do think that they need to come from healthy motives, right? It's like okay, I want to honor God with my life. Does this goal do that? I want to love God and love people. I want to maximize my potential. I want to make a difference in the world. And so does this do that? All right? Here's the third step in creating your goals. Because for a lot of people, it's like, man, I wouldn't even know where to start. Like, blank piece of paper, how do I start? Here's some good ones. Third is get ideas from others. So my friend Mark, what got him originally into setting goals was reading the life story of a guy named John Goddard. John Goddard, when he was 15 years old, sat down on a rainy day when there was nothing else to do, got out a piece of paper, and he wrote on the top of that paper, "My life list." And then he proceeded to write 127 goals for his life when he was 15. Here are a few of the goals that he wrote down that he has already accomplished. Okay, climb Mount Kilimanjaro, learn jiu-jitsu, explore the Amazon River, land on and take off from an aircraft carrier, run a 5-minute mile, go on a church mission trip, retrace the travels of Marco Polo and Alexander the Great, visit the Pope, study primitive cultures in Borneo, learn French, Spanish, and Arabic, photograph Victoria Falls in Rhodesia, milk a poisonous snake, skin dive to 40 feet and hold my breath for 2.5 minutes underwater, play the flute and violin, light a match with a .22 rifle, build a telescope, read the Bible from cover to cover, circumnavigate the globe. Did you hear me right? He wrote this list when he was 15. Like, I think back to when I was 15. If I had written a set of goals for my life, it would have been like, do the longest wheelie on my bike that has ever been done. Date Cindy Crawford. Finally do that whole Rubik's Cube thing. Actually, I don't even want to tell you what my goals would have been when I was 15. I'd be pretty embarrassed. John Goddard made that list and went on to accomplish all of those things. And here's what I believe. I believe that he probably wouldn't have accomplished any of those things if he hadn't set the goal. And it was setting the goal that propelled his life in that direction and allowed him to eventually accomplish that goal. And John Goddard inspired my friend Mark to create some goals of his own that he's now accomplishing, and he kind of inspired me. And so maybe you could be inspired by the example of others, and perhaps even by some of their goals. So you can be inspired by people like John Goddard. They're like, I should do that. I should have some life goals. But you might even be inspired by some of their goals. Now, I want to make sure you hear me. I am in no way saying that you should copy someone else's list. Like, this needs to be from your heart, things that you feel like, this is me, this is what I want to do. But I am saying that sometimes when you look at somebody else's list, it sparks ideas. And you're like, oh, I wouldn't want to do that, but that makes me think I would love to do this, right? And so, actually, if you go online, if you Google John Goddard life list, you can look at all of his goals. If you just Google bucket list, there's a bunch of different people's bucket lists that you might want to look at just for ideas. If you Google Christian bucket list, somebody has put together like 50 things every Christian should do before they die, and you can check that out. One of them on the list is join a church choir. And it says, if your church doesn't have a choir, even better, you can be the one to start one. I just want to tell you, we're not going to let you start a church choir. Okay, so if you read that list and you go, I want to start a church choir, it ain't happening here, but we can help you with lots of your other goals, maybe. So here's another helpful thing, and this is where we're going to give you a little bit of time to work on this. Another idea is to think in categories. Instead of just starting with a blank sheet, that's really difficult for a lot of people. Have like a few categories that you want to set some goals in. It can just kind of help you get going. In fact, I'm going to give you just a little bit of time. So I'm going to go through some categories you might have and give you less than a minute each, so it's not going to be long. Just to start jotting down like some initial thoughts about goals you might have, and you're going to need to go home if you decide to do this and spend more time on it. But for instance, family goals. So you might have a family goal like, I want to do an annual getaway with my spouse. Or I want my kids to become true, authentic followers of Jesus. Or I want our family to go on a mission trip together. I realize some of you might be like, I'm not married, I don't have kids. Well, you might say, if and when I ever get married and have kids, this is what I want my family to be about and to accomplish. So I'm going to give you just a little bit of time if you want to get out your sheet and write down just like what comes to mind. What are some possible family goals? You don't have to do this. If you don't, you might be a little bit bored. So I'm just going to give you a little bit of time. Go. This is like the first silence in the history of Verve. I talk so fast, like there's usually not a second of silence. There was just silence. It's kind of cool. Here's another one. You might not, but you might want to make some travel goals. Like, are there a few places you want to go before you die? And so, like, you might say, I want to go to Israel and walk where Jesus walked, or I'd like to go to Hawaii, or so. Any just real quick off the top of your head, write down. Is there any travel goals that come to mind that you're like, man, I would love to do that before I die? Okay, how about physical goals? You might have those. It might be something as big as I want to run a marathon, or it might be something as small as I want to get a physical every year so I'm feeling like I'm in good shape. If you were here a couple weeks ago, I'm going to put down a goal, less Twinkies. If you're here, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Less Twinkies. But still dirt pudding tonight. That's okay. Any physical goals? Okay, again, you can work on this more at home. The next category might be influence goals. So I think most of us want to make a difference. You know, I don't want to die and think my life didn't matter. Like, it didn't matter to anybody. God wants us to make a difference. And so, like, what are some of the ways you would like to influence the world? So maybe, you know, some people have a goal that they want to continue. Actually, I have this goal. I want to continually give God a higher percentage of my income. I want to give away more each year. Maybe an influence goal might be I want to bring 10 friends a year to my church so that they can meet God there. What influence goals come to mind for you? Okay. Another category might be relational goals. So maybe there's someone in your life who should be important to you, but right now there's an issue in the relationship, and you're maybe a parent, a friend, and so maybe a goal could be, I'm going to mend that relationship. We're gonna make that right. Or maybe it's I want to put a family reunion together, or I want to get my college buddies together and go on a trip in the next 5 years. So what might be a relational goal? And another category might be spiritual goals. Now, I think if we're thinking about this right, all of our goals are spiritual. All of life is spiritual. Everything has to do with God. It's not a category, but still, we might want to use this category. So, like, I want to read through the entire Bible in 2016. Or I want to someday do a silent retreat for 2 days. Or I want our family to do a mission trip together, something like that. Any spiritual goals that come to mind? And listen, so these categories, they're not like exclusives. You might come up with some other ones. You might have experience goals, things you want to experience in life. You might have education goals. You might have giving goals. And so, like, you know, whatever you want, but this is a way to get you started. Here's another way. I want to give you a completely different way to do this, just because some of you might go, oh, that works better for me. And this is actually something I did a couple of years ago. I decided that I wanted to do a project for myself, where I pictured my funeral. And I pictured person after person coming up to talk about my life and doing so honestly, not just like trying to make everybody feel better and say better things about me than are real. And so I thought of my kids coming up and telling what kind of father I was, and my wife talking about me as a husband, and friends and coworkers. So I wrote it all down, and then I said, all right, if that's the life I want to end with, how do I kind of reverse engineer and start living today so I'll get there? What I wrote down was, here's what I think people would say about me today if they were honest. So like I wrote, my friends would say I'm funny, but not fun. And just some really like kind of harsh things about myself. And I'm like, so I wrote all that down. And then I said, okay, so how do I get from here to there? What's funny is I told my wife I was going to do this. I'm like, hey, I need to get away for 2 days and create like my end of my life. Here's what I want. I said, would you get me reserve me a cheap hotel room? I want to go lock myself in a hotel room for 2 days and work on this. And so she said, sure. So she got me a hotel room and I said, where am I staying? And she said, you're staying at the Sunset Casino. And I said, why did you get me a casino hotel room for me to like plan out my funeral? And she's like, it was the cheapest one. So I was like, what if somebody like from Verve sees me there like at night and they're like, what are you doing? She's like, nobody from Verve is going to see you there at night. So I go to this hotel room like 10 o'clock in the morning, lock myself in, never turn on the TV, work, pray. I'm doing all this. And it was like, I think 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, man, I'm thirsty. I need to get something to drink. So I went down to the casino level to get something to drink, come out of the elevator, and there is standing someone from Verve. And I went, hey. And they said, hey, what are you doing here? Is your wife with you? And I said, no. And he said, what are you doing here at 1 o'clock in the morning coming down from the hotel and the casino from a hotel you live pretty close to? And I said, I'm planning my funeral. And he got this look on his face. He was like, really? And I'm like, you can ask my wife. And he's like, mm-hmm. And I'm like, ask my wife. You can ask my wife. So don't do it the way I did, but you might want to do that. All right, fifth step is to be specific. Be specific. So like getting in shape is not a goal, okay? That's a wish. It's not a goal, right? Goals have to be specific. And so you might want to add a timeline to your goal to help you be specific. And so like I want to achieve this goal by this age. So maybe you're like, I would like to go on a mission trip. I think that would be a cool experience. I'd like to serve God in that way. So maybe what you do is you say, I want to go on a mission trip before I'm 40 years old or before I'm 50 years old or whatever it is. You also might want to make your goals measurable. So like getting in shape, how do you know if you accomplish that or not? You don't. And so instead of like getting in shape or staying in shape, you might want to say, I never want to weigh more than 150, 200, 250, 300 pounds, whatever your pounds are. And so something like that, you can go, okay, I know I've accomplished my goal, or I know right now I'm not at my goal. There's a pastor in South Korea who has this saying. He says, God doesn't answer vague prayers. I don't know if that's true, but I do wonder if sometimes vague prayers are cop-outs. They don't necessarily require faith on our part. And because they're vague, God doesn't really get glorified if they happen. You know, maybe we're vague because we don't want to hold ourselves accountable. It's easier to say, I want to stay in shape and then feel like, oh, I'm in shape enough instead of putting a weight on it. Maybe we're vague because we're afraid. What if I set this goal and then I never achieve it? But making our goals specific will help us to accomplish them. I love the way J.C. Penney, the guy who started like the department store, he said it this way. He said, give me a stock clerk with a goal, and I will give you a man who will make history. Give me a man without a goal, and I will give you a stock clerk. It's pretty good, and it's pretty true. And when we come up with our specific goal, I want to encourage you to actually write it down. There's something powerful about writing your goals down. The Bible talks about this a little bit. Like, so there's a book called Habakkuk in the Bible. Isn't that funny? There's a book called Habakkuk. But in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, it says, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets. So back then they wrote on tablets, not paper, but it's saying, hey, make sure that whatever's revealed to you, whatever you're trying to go after, write it down. And so like I've got my goals on a piece of paper and I get them out and I review them. Sixth step is I want to encourage you to think big. Think big. So Michelangelo, not the Ninja Turtle. Some of you are like, is there another Michelangelo other than the... Yeah, there is. Michelangelo said this. He said, the greater danger for most of us is not that our aim is too high and we miss it, but that it is too low and we reach it. Now, some of your goals might be small and that's okay. Like, I want to get a physical every year. That's not this huge dream. But make some of them big. Be a little bit reckless with some of your goals. Like, you need some goals that are conceived in prayer, like you feel like this is something God's put in my heart to do, that seem ridiculous. Now, you have no idea how it could possibly happen, but in faith, you set that goal. And what will happen is that goal will force you to rely on God. and it will stretch you as a person. I love what Jim Rohn said. He said, you want to set a goal that is big enough that in the process, you become someone worth becoming. Isn't that good? So you need a dream, or at least a couple, that are destined to fail without God's divine intervention, because it will force you to seek God. It will put you in a place that none of us really want to be in, but we all need to be in, where we're dependent on God. Like, we want to be independent, right? But what God wants and what's best for us is to be dependent on Him, and big goals force us to be dependent on Him. And big dreams, big goals, help us to become big people. Seventh and last of these steps is keep dreaming. I want to tell you, it is never too late to be who you might have been. It is never too late to be who you might have been. Some of you might think, no, it is too late because I have wrecked my life. I have messed up my life. Some of you might be like, I think I'm too old. I'm too, I've gone too long. But it is never too late to start setting goals. Here's a really inspiring story about that. There's a woman named Harriet Dorr. And Harriet, years ago, had a goal. She wanted to go to college. But she wanted to go to college at a time where women almost never went to college. It was almost unheard of. But she had this goal. But there was a problem. She didn't have money, and then she got married, and marriage was kind of an obstacle for her to, and then she had kids, and kids kept her from going to college. But she never lost her dream, and the dream never died. And not only did Harriet end up getting a bachelor's degree from Stanford University, one of the best colleges in America, she graduated when she was 67 years old. At an age when most people are retiring, she was still going after her goals. But the story doesn't end there. One of her other goals was she wanted to write a novel. And her first novel, Stones for Ibera, was published when she was 74 years old. I love what she said about aging. She said, one of the best things about aging is being able to watch imagination overtake memory. So that's how you can start putting together a bucket list. And the idea of a bucket list is that it consists of what you want to accomplish before you die. And I think that's really important, obviously, or we wouldn't have spent this time on it. But there is something far more important. And it's what happens to you after you die. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 16. He said, what good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in His Father's glory with His angels, and then He will reward each person according to what they have done. Do you get that? The idea is, if you gain everything you could possibly want in this life, which lasts 70, 80 years, and then you spend all of eternity regretting that you ignored what mattered most, what did you really gain? Nothing. You lost everything that truly matters. And Jesus says that the Son of Man, that was His favorite nickname for Himself. He's talking about Himself. He says that the Son of Man is going to return to the earth someday. Like, it's going to happen. And He says that when He returns to earth, He is going to end this world the way we know it. And then the world is going to start again, completely new and in a different way. And then every person is going to spend their eternity, all of their eternal life forever, either with God or apart from God. And it's completely based on the decision that you make. Okay? I know a lot of people kind of go under this myth that it's like, well, heaven's for good people and hell's for bad people, right? If you're a pretty good person or a really good person or something, you go to heaven. If you're a bad person, you have a lot of sin, you go to hell. That is, nothing could be further from the truth. That's not remotely what the Bible says. The Bible says it's completely based on your choice. In the movie, there's another myth, and we see it in the movie, in this bucket list movie. There's this one point where Morgan Freeman's character is talking about how he believes in God, wants to live his life in a way that pleases God. And Jack Nicholson's character says that he does not believe in God at all, doesn't believe that there's anything after death. And then he says that he thinks that theory he lives by is a win-win. He says, if I'm right, well, then I didn't waste my life trying to live it for God. And if I'm wrong, well, then cool, I get to go to heaven. That's not the way it works. First of all, it's not wasting your life to give your life to the one who matters most and loves you most and wants to help you make a difference in the world. That's not a waste of a life. But even more importantly, the Bible says it's not everybody goes to heaven. And it's not people who are good go to heaven. Whether or not you go to heaven for eternity is based on the decision that you make in this life. One time, someone kind of shared with Jesus the decision we need to make. It's in Matthew 16. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, it's just an area, he asked his disciples, his followers, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you, he asked, who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And the Bible says that's the decision we need to come to, that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. The word Christ actually means Savior. Some of you might think, isn't that Jesus' last name? It was like, first name Jesus, last name Christ. No, it's more like his title, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus the Savior. And the decision that we need to come to, the Bible says, is to realize, man, I have blown it. Like, I've made bad decisions, I've sinned, and so I've messed up my life, and what I need is, I need someone to save me from myself, from my decisions, from my sin, and I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the one, the only one who can save me. Like, that's the decision that we need to make. And you can come up with the greatest bucket list ever, and you could accomplish every single item on that bucket list, but then when you kick the bucket and you realize that there is all of eternity in front of you. You had 70 years that seemed like a big deal, and you now realize that's a nothing. I've got forever in front of me that will never end. And you realize that in your life you never made the decision to live for God and to put your faith in Jesus and what he did for you on the cross. You're not going to be happy with what you accomplish in life. It's just going to be eternal sorrow for what you missed out on. And so, man, I so hope that you'll accomplish everything you want to accomplish before you die. That's why I decided, man, let me share some things I've learned about putting together a bucket list. I hope that for you. But way more, I hope that you accomplish God's dream for your life for after you die. Cool if you accomplish your dreams for before you die, but God's dream for after you die is that you'll join him in heaven. Because God loves you so much. He loves you so much, he sent his son and allowed his son to die on a cross for you so that you could have a relationship with him and go to heaven forever. And so listen, God has a bucket list. Right? God's got a list that he wants to accomplish with his life, and your name's on it. All of our names are on it. God's bucket list is that you would spend forever with him in heaven. And that's why he sent Jesus to die for you. But again, it's your decision. Like, God loves you and respects you way too much to force you to be with him. Heaven is being with God in this perfect place, and there's no way. He just loves you too much and he respects you too much to force you to go there, so you have to make that choice. Here's the way Jesus talked about that choice. In Mark chapter 16, verse 16, he said, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And so, like I said, we've all messed up our lives. We need to be saved. And he said, if you want to be saved, you need to believe and you need to be baptized. So the Bible tells us, and if you want to read about this, it's in a book called Romans chapter 6, that in baptism, we are united with Christ. It's kind of like almost like a wedding ceremony where two people meet each other and then they have a relationship and they fall in love, but it's in their wedding ceremony that they like become united, right? And so in the same way, in baptism, we become united with Christ, the Bible says. And so in baptism, a person is lowered underwater and it looks like they're being lowered almost into a grave. And that's what it's supposed to look like. The idea is that we're being united with Jesus' death. It's like we're dying to all of our old life. And then a person's raised out of the water. And the idea is it's supposed to look like they're being raised out of the grave to a new life. And the idea is that we're being united with Jesus' resurrection. So we're doing baptisms next Sunday and Monday. We do them a few times a year. And next Sunday after service and the next Monday night after service, we're going to do baptisms. And if you've never done that, if you have never made that decision to say yes to a relationship with God here and now and for all eternity, I would say that that should be the number one item on your bucket list. And I hope you'll make that decision. I know we've already got, like, I think six or so people that I know of who are going to be doing that next week, and I hope you'll join them. So I'm going to pray for you. And if you want to do that, by the way, there's a sign-up sheet at the Velcro Bar, which is our connecting place. If you're like, yes, I want to get baptized, or if you're like, I got questions, if you sign up, we'll contact you. We'll call you, email you, whatever information you give us, and we'll answer your questions, walk you through what it's all about and stuff like that. So signing up doesn't mean I'm in. It means, like, I at least want to be contacted about it. So I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to pray that you would live your life on purpose, that you wouldn't let your life slip by and end up having all these regrets when you die. But I'm especially going to pray that you don't have the greatest regret ever after you die. And so then after I pray, the band's going to play a song. We're going to give you just a couple minutes just to think about what you experienced today, to pray if you pray, and to make a decision that could change your life and change your eternity. During the time, we also have communion available on the tables around the room. Communion is a piece of bread and a cup of juice that represent Jesus' body and blood given on the cross for us. And it's a way of us remembering and thanking and celebrating and uniting us with him and what he did on the cross. And so if you'd like to take communion, you can get up and go and get the bread and juice, bring it back to your seat, and when you're ready, you can take that. All right, let's pray. God, really, it's a scary thing, I think, that it's normal, I believe, for most people to just kind of skim through life, kind of just get carried along in life, get in some ruts and stay in those ruts through life and never really think about what they want to be, what they want to accomplish, what they want their lives to look like. And then you get to the end and realize that that's it. That's the only life I get. God, would you help us today to be inspired and to take up this challenge to live our lives by design, to take some time, however we want to do it, to create some goals for who we want to be and what we want to accomplish. God, I pray that we accomplish those. I want to be a church that helps people's dreams come true. But much more important is that we accomplish your dream for after we die, because what you want is for us to come and be with you in heaven. Thank you for loving us so much that despite who we are, what we've done, where we've gone, you still want us. God, I pray that every person in this room would, if not already, would soon make a decision to say yes, that they would recognize that they've sinned and that you, Jesus, are the Savior who came for us, that you died for us, and that when we say yes and we give our lives in faith to you and we get baptized, we can know that we will spend forever in heaven. And we have you with us today to help us as we go through this life. God, would you help us to just let go of all the things we think are so important and to really focus on making that the number one thing on our bucket list. God, I pray a lot of people in these next minutes say yes to you and sign up to get baptized. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.